thought at least once today I might stand in the pulpit. Certainly is good to see each one this evening. It's been it's been a tough day. You had to listen to some very tough lessons. There's another one coming tonight. There's a lot of things going on in the congregation. And we know that the Lord's work needs to be done. I ask that you bow with me in prayer before we start our lesson. Our Father in heaven, as we come to Thee this evening, we pray, Father, that in this last lesson that we will open our hearts, Father, that we will understand that the Word of God is being taught to each and every one of us, that, Father, we need to adhere to what is being said. We need to look at some remedies of how we can fix issues, and we need to humble ourselves to Thee, is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You know, as we think about what we've done today, we've actually said that within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face. And we're going to find that is true. That it is true that the Bible contains for us answers. We may not like the answers. We may be hurt by the answers. But the answers are there. Whether we like it or not, something causes problems. Something is there that generates issues. It could be that somebody has known somebody for 18, 15, 30 years, and all of a sudden they develop a problem with that individual. It could be that a preacher could be that long, and then all of a sudden there's a problem with him. It could be elders serve that long, and there could be a problem all of a sudden that arises. There's something that causes problems. Husbands and wives can be married for years upon years, get along, typical things with husbands and wives, have their bumpy roads, but be fine, then something happens. I've often said, in a marriage, like leaves way before love. You have to think about that. Sometimes we just don't like our spouses, but we still love them. In the Lord's work, that happens too. We talk about brotherly love, but brotherly like leaves a lot of times before brotherly love does. And that's something that we have to deal with. Tonight I actually want to talk about dealing with issues. All this centers on one word, communication. Communication. There's either the lack of, and sometimes there's too much. But communication is the center of most problems. What we want to talk about first is what preachers wish the church knew about preachers. I thought we'd start with that since I've got some experience preaching. And sometimes a preacher's thoughts, if the church just knew this, but it's tough for preachers to get up and preach about preachers. Because everybody looks and say, well, the preacher must be wanting a raise or something. I'm thankful to say I can talk to you tonight about preachers with no other thing going on, agenda, other than just letting you know, as you're a congregation here, and if you continue to be a congregation here, you're going to have to look at getting a preacher. So let me tell you some things that a preacher wishes you knew about preachers. Go over to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, the Apostle Paul is addressing the preacher Timothy. He simply says to him words that you've heard before, but he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Here's your instructions. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Why? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. According to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. We use the passage this morning of Matthew, the 12th chapter, in verse 25. There is a kingdom that's divided, it cannot stand. Preachers are to preach the Word of God to try and maintain that the kingdom stands in unity. They are to do that. In fact, preachers sort of understand that the work of a preacher is preaching. They wish the congregation could understand that. A lot of times preachers get drawn into many other things. But a sound preacher keeps his nose clean by doing the will of God and studying and make sure the lessons presented are sound doctrine. They do not get involved in many issues. They get involved in teaching the truth. We sometimes force preachers to do many things they shouldn't be doing. They shouldn't be serving as a deacon, and I don't mean that they can't serve as a deacon. I mean they don't need to be doing deacon duties unless they're a deacon. They don't need to be doing elders' duties unless they're an elder. They are not the spiritual leader of the congregation. That's the elders. They are a proclaimer of God's Word. They have a tremendous responsibility to teach the Word of God. If you look at extra-biblical expectations that are put on preachers today, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. They are expected to teach the gospel. And I can tell you, after 43 years, one of the greatest regrets I have as a preacher is not enough time to study. There just has not been that. You get into it, you get going, and the next thing you know, I've got to go run and do this. I've got to go run and do that. Preachers are members like everyone else. They have those same member duties to do, but their work is to study and make sure they can present lessons from the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 4, it summarizes. You preach, you be ready. In and out of seasons, you convince, you rebuke, you exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. There's going to be a time. Has this time come? Of course it has. That those will not endure sound doctrine. The world is full of that. Our country is in a mess because people will not endure sound doctrine. Meanwhile, preachers are mowing yards. You understand what I'm saying? They need to be held responsible to study God's Word. Preach the Word. Be faithful. Reprove. Don't compromise. Be watchful. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Leave nothing undone. You need that time. The preacher wishes that the congregation would understand that preachers are not perfect. Connie and I get amazed sometimes that people say, "Oh, y'all got the perfect marriage." And in the car going home, we go, "What? If this is the perfect marriage, there's a lot of problems in perfect marriages." You have to work at it. Preachers are human. Preachers are just like anyone else. And a preacher that puts himself in an air to where he's above everyone else, shame on him. Preachers are members. They serve at the pleasure of the congregation. And by that I mean if they are hired, they serve under subjection, as we mentioned this morning, either to the elders or to the men of the congregation as they are held responsible to teach the Word of God. They aren't perfect people. We understand that. How many times have you heard about preachers, and I could name them, I could start naming them, have committed adultery after they've preached on adultery, written articles about adultery? How many preachers have robbed brethren? How many preachers have gone astray? Preachers are not perfect. Preachers need patience, gentleness, and forgiveness as much as anyone else does. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 7, the passage talks about loves, bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Preachers sometimes need to step out of the pulpit because they are not perfect men and they falter, and their influence on a congregation is not what it needs to be. And they need to be removed at times. Preachers need directions, especially from elders. We're having it the other way around. Preachers think they need to give elders the directions. Elders that we talked this morning, we're going to talk a little bit more about this evening, are ones who are to feed the flock. While preachers do not expect to be told every sermon topic, there may be things that the elders know that they should go to the preacher and say, okay, preacher, we need some lessons on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We need some lessons on qualification of elder. We need some lessons on attendance. That's perfectly what elders do with preachers. Preachers should want that from elders. Preachers are not going to know that congregation as well as elders. They're going to preach, they're going to be told some things, but the elders are the overseers. They're to feed the flock. And if they desire to do that, they're going to know their flock well enough to go to the preacher and say, we need this. And if the preacher says, well, why do we need that? Who's struggling with that? No. Elders know those things as elders. Preacher, you prepare the sermon, preach the gospel on that. Understand that preachers need directions. Expectations will be met if we know what expectations are. One of the greatest things that I look at, well, I shouldn't say that. One of the things that I look at, that I look over my years of experience and say in the communication realm, is expectations are not set. One of the things I did with every congregation, and maybe this is the business part of me, here's a letter of agreement. Let's put in there what you expect me to do as a preacher. That way we don't get 3-4 years into this and all of a sudden you're saying I'm not doing what you said I do. I want to know what it is. Elders should do that. Congregation should do that. Lay it out. This is what we expect from a preacher. And if preachers don't like that, then they don't have to come to your congregation. They can move on to another one. But that's what you should think, is preachers need directions. Understand that a preacher's salary is wages earned, not charity. I don't know, how would all of you like for your salaries and benefits to be put on the bulletin board in the back of a building? Preachers get theirs put up back there. It's just part of the nature, isn't it? Okay, we'll go to the back. Visitors see it. Everybody says, I don't know if you do that here or not, but it's a treasury report. Every month, members go back and look, and there's the preacher's salary. It's open to everyone. It's all right for the congregation to know that's what we're paying a preacher. But when you look at this, people will look and say, wow, look at what he's making. Let's see, he's self-employed. 35% possibly is coming out of his salary at the top. He's got to maybe buy his own insurance. Some congregations provide that. He's got to do those things. And before long, we've got him. Well, the preacher is just doing charity. We're a terrible organization. The preacher should understand, or the congregation should understand, it's wages earned. We seek respect for the work, not for our own egos, but for the good of the church. He expects to be valued for what he's doing. And by that I mean, there should be times he sits down with the elders. If there's no elders, with the men of the congregation, every year should get a review. You get that in your jobs, don't you? The preacher is someone that wants to know, am I doing what the congregation wants me to do? Understanding that I need to preach the Word of God, but are we growing? Are we doing the things? Am I motivating the congregation or am I not? Those things need to be done. Also, understand that a preacher's job is proclaiming the gospel, not enforcing it. Too many times we want the preacher, preacher, you need to enforce this. Preacher, you need to make sure this. Preacher, excuse me? The measure of good people is not how many respond or how much growth takes place, but whether he has been faithful to proclaim the gospel, the truth. I don't know how many times people would come to me sometimes and say, Steve, you need to do something about brother so-and-so. And I'm thinking, there's elders. If there's not elders, there's the men of the congregation. You need to do this. When discipline is necessary, it falls upon the elders. If there's no elders, it falls upon the men of the congregation. It doesn't fall upon the preacher. The preacher's to preach about it. And as a member, if there's no elders, he's to participate with the other men in making the decision when to do and what to do as far as it comes down to discipline. Communications. Preachers wish the church knew some things about preachers, but it's very seldom communicated. Then you have deacons. And serving as a deacon sometimes, I think, I kind of wish the congregation would know this. But over in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 8 through 13, we have the qualifications for deacons. And we see these right here. And there seems to be a lot of confusion sometimes about the responsibilities and roles people fulfill in the church. We understand in Romans, the 12th chapter, and 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, that Paul there is addressing that the church is a body consisting of different members. They're made up differently. Matter of fact, look out amongst us. Different ages, different talents, different genders, with different faults, different color clothes on, driving different cars. Members are different, but they're to be one. They are to be one. In order to function as the body of Christ, we must learn to recognize and appreciate each other and the role that we are to play. And a deacon is not appointed unless the congregation appoints them. You ever thought of that? Deems them qualified and says we want them to serve us. Deacons are not junior elders. That's probably the number one thing that a lot of deacons get. People think I'm a junior elder. There's no such things as junior elders. They work as a deacon, and a lot of time people think they're in training. I think we're all in training. Constantly we're in training. That's not a stepping stone. It doesn't come to, okay, now your career path is member, deacon, elder. No, it's not anything like that. We are to grow as individual Christians. Men who do not meet the qualifications of elders have as much responsibility, or deacons either, much responsibility to keep growing in the Word as does a deacon and an elder and a preacher. And every member has that, to grow in the Word of God. Serving as a deacon is an end in itself about servitude. It is to serve. 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and verse 13, "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." The work of the deacon is not always limited to physical matters. Now, they don't have any spiritual authority other than any other member. But sometimes elders may ask them to do something. Gather the class material. Oversee the handing out. I believe you've got some flyers going out for a singing. Oversee those things. Make sure we've got song leaders lined up. Make sure there are people serving in the worship service. Men doing that, that meet the fact that the elders have approved. Make sure some of these things are done. Make sure our Bible class material is as we want it to be. Make sure that the teachers are doing what they want to be doing and making sure that they have the supplies. Elders oversee that. That servitude is within the deacons. Deacons are special servants. They're used by elders in whatever way the elders see fit to use them according to the Scriptures. We need to understand that deacons wish the church knew that they are special servants, but they're not the only servants. They're not the only one that are served. That Greek term, diakonos, means deacon, servant, minister, and it's applied to all Christians. John the 12th chapter verse 26, or 1 Timothy 4, 6, or Romans 16, 1, or Matthew 20 and verse 6. All verses dealing with servitude. A church cannot expect the deacons to do all the work. The work is to be shared. Sometimes deacons assist other members by saying, "We need this done. Could you meet us here at the building to have this done?" And members will assist the deacons in doing that. We all need to be working together. Deacons need to be allowed to do the work that's given to them to do. No one likes to be told what to do. We went to eat today. This is going to come as a shock to you, but one of our older ladies here, when being told something, said, "I don't like to be told what to do." And I thought to myself, I've heard that before. We don't, do we? I don't either. When Connie tells me what to do, I do it and mumble. That's just something about that. But deacons have work to be done. Allow them to do the work. Sometimes we grow and learn by failing and failing again and falling until we pick ourselves up. Deacons need to be allowed to do the work given to them. But let's get to some real issues here. Let's look at what a godly church wishes elders knew. There seems to be, and Richard said ouch and thank you this morning, but I only know to preach the word of truth. There seems to be an issue in this congregation of some that have lost confidence in the elders, and that needs to be addressed. What a godly church wishes elders knew about the church. A godly church wishes elders knew some things about the church, that they would seek the good of the church. 1 Peter 5:1-3, Peter, in talking there, in a passage I'm sure that you have studied several times, the elders who are among you I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, now notice, not by compulsion, but willingly. Hold that right there. Go over to 1 Timothy 3 with me, if you will, and notice something. It says willingly. That's how elders are to serve. Not by compulsion, but willingly. In 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 1, the very first idea brought out about qualifications of an elder by Paul, if a man desires the position of a bishop. Desiring and willingly go hand in hand. I'll do it, but I don't desire it, not qualified. I desire it because I want to have gain doing it, not qualified. Willingly and desire for the right reasons to oversee, has a man qualified? It is fair to ask elders, do you still desire the work? It's fair to ask that because these qualifications are not entrance requirements, folks. They're life requirements. They're there for life. They have to constantly desire it and be willingly. And a godly church wants elders to know they should expect 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 to be adhered to for their life. That's what the Scriptures teach. That's the qualifications of an elder. I work in a business with my son-in-law. There are certifications you have to have for our project managers. These certifications have to be renewed on an annual basis. I've got people that report to me that make sure those are done, and they will come to me and say, Steve, so-and-so is not certified. They let it run out. We have to pull them off of the government project. They're not certified. Those certifications only last for a year to be recertified. Scriptures don't teach this, but it understand, and my thought is, all right, maybe we need to recertify elders on an annual basis. Maybe we need to recertify deacons. Maybe we need to recertify preachers. What am I saying? I'm saying we look at the qualifications and say, oh, yeah, he'll fit this today, but next year he may not. And then we have issues. As an elder, I looked at these and I said to myself, every day, I've got to look at that. Do I desire it? And I'm doing this willingly? Do I meet those qualifications? A godly church wishes the elders knew that that's what expected to seek the good of the church, that the elders be qualified all the time, not as lords over the church. Let's go back to 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 3, where it says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when this chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade. A godly church wishes elders knew the word of God. Over in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, back over there, in verse 2 of that, when Paul is giving this instruction to Timothy about the qualifications of an elder, it says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach. How can I teach if I don't know the Word of God? Expectations are also laid out in Titus 1:9-11. A godly church wants elders to be able to teach. They've got to reprove and rebuke. They've got to exhort, but they've got to convict the gainslayer. Remember what Paul told the church, the elders of the church at Ephesus, when he met with him in Acts the 20th chapter? Beware. There's going to be those come even among you. Even among the elders, there's going to be those that come up, as well as from outside. How can you stand up and refute those if you don't know the Word of God? A godly church wishes elders would communicate with the church. As I mentioned earlier in this lesson, that is a major, major issue. Elders, when I talk about them and what they wish the congregation knew, it's a tough line to cross of how much information you give. There are some things you know that the whole congregation doesn't need to know. But they need to know enough to know why you as an elder are taking the actions you're taking. In Genesis, the 11th chapter in verse 6, the statement is, and the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about before the Tower of Babel, but let me tell you what it's talking about. They understand, they're communicating and all know. A congregation that is not in the know is a congregation that is in trouble. And yet a congregation needs to understand that elders can't tell everything. And elders need to understand they need to tell everything they can to a congregation so the congregation does not lose confidence in them when they make decisions they make. And so a godly church wishes elders would communicate with them. Communication builds trust. Communication enhances involvement. I want to tell you, a couple places I've been, one of the things that happened is the elders say, we really didn't do this the right way, Steve, but we haven't told them. Why not? You're men. Elders are not perfect. The congregation should know that, but also the congregation want elders to know that they should be loved. The congregation should love their elders, respect their elders. After all, they were put in as elders. There was that at one time. And if they've lost confidence, like I said this morning, because of some poor decisions, you need to let the elders know that. But also, a congregation wishes elders knew that if there was a mistake, let us know that. If you did not judge it right, if you did not make the right decision, just let us know. We didn't do this the right way. Sometimes young people, when they get up to give their first lesson, they get all nervous. That still happens to some of us old ones too. But they get all nervous. My comment to them was, it's your brothers and sisters. If you can't feel comfortable in front of your brothers and sisters in Christ, who can you feel comfortable in front of? And really, the church wishes elders knew there's an issue, there's a communication issue, you didn't handle something right, just tell us. Just let us know. Most congregations can handle someone coming before them and saying, I didn't handle that right. We as a group of elders didn't handle that right. I find most churches want elders to communicate. That's effective communication, because communication enhances involvement. But a godly church wants elders who will lead and not just direct. Over in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, passage we used this morning, but Jesus talking there to those Pharisees. He makes a statement that really sticks out when he's talking there in the first three verses. Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but not do according to their works, for they say and do not." Congregation doesn't want elders to get up and say things and do things differently. Say one thing and do something totally opposite. Congregations can see through that immediately. Oh, it's good for us to do this, but the elders are not bound by this. That just doesn't work. That is lording over. That is not what congregations want elders to be doing. It's not what God wants elders to be doing. A godly church wants elders to serve as shepherds, not just administrators. When we look at Acts, the 20th chapter, and in verse 28, and I know we've used that passage a lot, but I want to tell you that passage has warnings all over it for us. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." But what are they saying? Feed it, shepherd it, guide it, direct it. Yeah, there's some directing. But it's not just all directing. It is giving the congregation the oversight and shepherding they need. Congregations want that. They understand that. They need to heed the sheep and what is needed for them. A godly church wants elders to recognize and utilize the talents of the church. One of the challenges I think elders face is trying to get the congregation and members of the congregation to do things. We kind of have a volunteer retirement from the service of the Lord. "I've taught for 30 years, I'm now quitting." Brother, I want to tell you, I don't see that in the Bible. I just don't see that. I think it's time that we let younger ones do. I firmly believe that there is time we need to do that. It's one of the reasons I've stepped out of the pulpit, so that we can help train some younger ones do that and help congregations such as this and in gospel meetings. We need that. We need our young people to be trained. One of our problems we have today is the retention of our young people is getting smaller and smaller. And pulpits are being filled with young men who think preaching is a position instead of work. And so as a result of that, they think that they can come in and be equal to elders, if not above elders. What's happened? No training. In fact, of the matter, we have preacher training courses, and sometimes you look at that and say, "Oh no, I'm not sure that's not doing worse than it should, or it's not doing more harm than it should." We need to be careful about preacher. That needs to occur. But I want to tell you something we've totally forgot. Elder training. There is none. You ever had a class to where the men brought the men in, and no matter from Chris's age on up, said, "We want to talk to you about elders. Let's talk to you what elders do. We're going to meet for the next five Saturday mornings, and we're having an elders training class." No, we go to preacher training or teacher training, but nothing about elders. Godly churches want elders to be able to utilize the talents of the church. What's that mean? The church is a body consisting of different members. We already said that in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. People within the scope of their talents. There are some great talents within the Lord's body, within each congregation. And sometimes elders do not know that. And a church wishes they did. Wishes they knew that. Many times, though, it seems elders settle for availability instead of a talent. But no, what does elders wish a church knew about elders? Being an elder is not an easy job, but it's a job that places one in a position of responsibility for another person's soul. Hebrews 13:17 would state that. You know, Connie and I got married at a young age. But I can remember the first morning I woke up with her as my wife, looked at her and thought, oh no, I'm responsible for her safety. Now I got to feed her. Now I got to work for her. Now, and then I remember when Rachel was born. Oh no, I got two. And then three. And then four. Oh no. You're responsible for that. Elders are responsible for souls. They will be held accountable. This is as kind as I can be, but as forward as I can be. I want you to understand this. They will be accountable for the issues that are going on here right now. And the souls that are here. That is tough. That is very tough. They're accountable for a member of this congregation that goes astray, that they deal with that properly. They're accountable to discipline. Elders wish the church knew it is a major responsibility to serve as an elder. It is a tough job, and they're not perfect men, and so mistakes can be made. So as we look at this, we need to understand that elders wish the church knew that what they're doing to the best of their ability is striving to keep peace and unity within the Lord's church and this congregation they oversee, and yet uphold what the Lord wants them to do to keep the church pure. They have to do that. Elders wish the church would just give them the benefit of the doubt sometimes. Not doctrinally. I'm not talking about that. The church has recognized them as men of maturity and wisdom and good judgment, or they wouldn't have been appointed, according to 1 Timothy 3 in verses 1 through 7. And as a result of that, these men are appointed. Some of them serve years upon years. Some of them get to the position of where they say to themselves, I no longer desire, either by age, or it could be they're worn out by the flock. And that happens. Issues can just wear a man out. What's happened to their good judgment? What's happened to their qualifications? Elders need to know that from the church instead of people just running away. And if a man really has the right attitude and that's presented to him, he then will step aside because he is no longer an effective leader. I often wonder, by the way, as serving as an elder, we worked in one congregation where I was the preacher, was not an elder, we did not have elders, but the nearest congregation was like 25 miles away. So guess what happened when we had difficulties? Well, we're going to sit down and talk this out. And we're not leaving till it's straight. Why? Nobody wants to drive 25 miles of services. It is one of those things. You're going to work it out. When the church at Corinth had problems, did Paul say, look, why don't you get over here and do this? Some of you and some of you. No. Brethren, what's happened is we've made it too convenient. There's a church of Christ on about every corner in these big cities. And so when this one's not doing what we want, let's go to that one. Not saying that that shouldn't be happening sometimes, especially if there's doctrinal issues, but it just makes it awful convenient. Elders wish the church knew that the elders need the benefit of the doubt, but they want to work issues out. They're often privy to facts that will never see the light of day. Those are tough. Connie can tell you, as I served as an elder, some of the people would want to know what went on, and Connie says, don't know, Steve couldn't tell me. It was not her that was serving as an elder. It was me. There are things that elders don't need to be telling their wives. There are things elders need to keep within the eldership. And the elders wish the church knew that. elders wish the church knew that they're not the opposition. They're not the enemy. If they become the enemy, there's a bad, bad problem within the Lord's congregation here. If they're the enemy. They may be men that you've lost confidence in, that you need to talk to about, but if you think they're the enemy, I think there's a bad mistake. Churches develop an us versus them mentality. Are you experiencing that? I don't know all your issues. I've come to preach to you from the Word of God, but I've seen church problems before. I've been involved with these. I can tell you right now, you've got it. You know how I know it's got it? All I got to do is listen to your singing. There's very little spirit in your singing. I can tell in your eyes and your facial expressions, you're beat down. You walk into this building, and instead of coming in with excitement to see your brothers and sisters, you drag yourself in saying, we've got problems. Elders wish congregations know they want those fixed. Not just talking about these elders, talking about any elders. Who wants the building to be put up for sale under their watch as an elder? You ever thought of that? What's going to happen to this congregation? Elders want to know. They're not your enemy. They want to know. You need to open up to them and they need to open up to you. If not, there will be a denomination in this group instead of the Church of Christ at Mansley Grove. And it happens. It happens, folks. And there's got to be something that grabs hold and said, boy, that Steve preached to them. No, Steve's preaching to you. Talking with you. I said I wasn't going to preach, but I found myself right now preaching. Talking to you from the Word of God. I don't know if it's grabbed a hold of you that you're losing this congregation and Satan's pleased. And it's an us versus them with many because they're against the elders. And the elders want them to know we're not the opposition. We want to lead and guide and help. Us versus them. That type of attitude will destroy a local congregation. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and in verse 25, what we find Paul saying, there should be no schism in the body. There shouldn't be this. But that the members should have the same care for one another. Are people's feelings going to be hurt? Absolutely. Have yours? Possibly, and may have. Have some of the people that's left? Yes, they may have hurt feelings. But I want to tell you, when I read this passage right here, it says the members should have the same care for one another. Now, what's that mean, brethren? What does that mean? It means God, through the hands of Paul and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, says, members, treat each other the same. Not us versus them. Elders are not the opposition. In fact, according to Hebrews 13:17, their advice and correction should be heeded. However, you cannot lead if no one will follow. And if the ones that are supposed to follow have lost confidence in the leaders, there will be no overseeing, shepherding possible. Elders wish the church would recognize that responsibility for faithfulness is a two-way street. This is also tough. Elders have an obligation to know and shepherd the flock. We've read 1 Peter 5th chapter, first four verses. Even when you look at Acts 20, the passage is dealing with this. The elders have that responsibility. But sometimes we look at it and the elders would like to say, wait a minute, you have an individual responsibility. We don't like to hear that sometimes. If there's problems, it's all the elders' fault. We have a responsibility to keep our nose clean. We have a responsibility to follow God's Word. We have a responsibility to grow and add to our faith virtue and virtue knowledge and knowledge patience and so on and so on. We have that responsibility. We have a responsibility to help keep this congregation pure by us as members staying pure ourselves. When's the last time this eldership got to concentrate on getting out to the community and helping give direction to help souls be saved instead of having to deal with internal problems? Don't know. And don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming the congregation or blaming the elders. I'm saying this is the Word of God. They need to be focused on shepherding and guiding. And elders wish members knew that. And sometimes we as members, we want elders to know things. And sometimes what we have is communication clash. And neither one's doing their job as they should. Elders have that obligation to know the congregation, shepherd the flock. Members of the church have just as much responsibility toward the elders. Obey them. We have responsibility one to another. Love one another. Show brotherly kindness. Bear one another's burdens. We have that. Elders wish the church knew what their job is. The term bishop or overseer is inclusive of decision making, but also an elder's role is much broader than decision making. We read Ezekiel 34 verses 1 through 14 today. And in the first four verses of that, the Lord talks about His disappointment in the elders. In the shepherds, I should say. Why? They had lost control of the flock. It's fair to ask this from the Word of God. Do you believe these elders have lost control of this flock? As part of the flock, you need to let them know that. You need to open the communication. That's what they should want. Talk to us. Let us talk to you. One of the toughest things about being an elder is you're going to give the whole congregation a right to be in your personal life. And you're going to end up being in theirs. That's how you get to know the flock. There's going to be things shared between you and the flock, and they're going to know more about you, and you should know more about them. Because of the open communication. Elders wish the church knew about elders. We're getting ready to close out this series of lessons. And it's one of those things that Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." These lessons have been tough. I understand that. I also understand that when they contacted me, the elders, about doing this, that I said I would teach the Word of God. Richard was right on that. I'm not here to take sides. I'm not here to support you have more elders or less elders. I'm not here to support more deacons or less deacons. I'm not here to support more members or less members. I'm here because you're having trouble. Or I wouldn't be here. I don't know how to react to that as a preacher. I love going to congregations and preach. I can tell you I love this congregation. But this was one I drove all the way to Louisville, I think, with one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas pedal. Because I knew it wasn't going to be pleasant. It's not pleasant for me. It's not pleasant for you. You're suffering. And the only thing we can do when somebody suffers is understand that God has a plan. He gave His Son so that we in the called out body can have salvation. But we have to have unity. We have to be one in that. And people will say, Steve, do you understand it's not doctrinal? What I understand is when you make opinions cause a separation within the Lord's church, you got issues that bring forth sin because there's not unity. If there's not unity, there's a transgression of God's Word. Elders have to think about that and question themselves whether they still desire the work. They could be down. Whether they're willing to serve or not serve. Congregation has to come to grips with what happens if we don't have elders. It seems simple. Either you have them or don't have them. It's not that simple. But it is this. You have a responsibility to the Lord. It's His church. It's not yours. It's not the elders. It's not any preacher that comes in here. It's not one group's. It's not one family's. This is the Lord's church until He removes the candlestick. Is He close to doing that? You have to answer that question yourself. We had this earlier this morning. I think I probably caught some people off guard as quick as I stopped the lesson. In Revelation 2 and 3, it was written to the seven churches of Asia. They had problems, folks. They had lots of problems. If I'm not mistaken, when we were over there, there wasn't a one congregation left of those seven churches. What do you think about that? Not one. And you know what the Lord called for them to do? He called for them to repent, and Peter repeats that we should think about what we're doing and reconcile to God. And in doing so, we'll reconcile with one another if we put God first. And folks, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about you. Each one of us have to take ownership of that. I have to do that with God. You have to do that with God. It's called humility. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. I pray that you think of these things, that you understand your responsibility to heed these words. We can use the plan of salvation, and we can encourage people to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and certainly we should. But it's that last one of being faithful unto death that causes us to have to examine ourselves according to what Paul said to the church at Corinth. Test yourself whether you are in the faith or not. It's not whose side you're on. It is you should be on the Lord's side. Here am I, send me. You're working together, you should be, for the cause of the Lord in this congregation. Do you need to respond to a call for repentance? Do you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? We encourage you to think of that while we stand and while we sing.